You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Looking for a good book to get lost in this summer? We've got some recommendations, either about the West or by authors in the region. Joining us, Kathy Langer, a buyer at the Tattered Cover Bookstores in Denver, and from Steamboat Springs, the owner of Off the Beaten Path Bookstore, Ron Kroll. Ron, Kathy, thanks for being back with us.
Great to be here.
Pleasure to join you again.
And Kathy, let's start with you and with a novel. What do you have?
I have a wonderful debut novel called Little Century by Anna Kesey. It takes place in the high desert of Oregon in 1900. A young woman, Esther Chambers, heads out to live with her cousin who has a cattle ranch in a town called Little Century. Her mother has just died and she has nowhere else to go. And he convinces her to homestead a plot adjacent to his ranch so he can actually have more land. So he's using her to expand his empire.
Ah.
She finds herself in the middle of a range war, the cattlemen versus the sheep herders, and it is very intense and gets pretty ugly. Esther's a wonderful character because she has great moral clarity and really sees what's happening and doesn't quite take sides right away. And it has wonderful descriptions of landscape, and the characters are so deeply drawn. It reminded me at the end of Lonesome Dove. When that ended, I was just bereft to have to say goodbye to the characters, and it has the same kind of tone.
The book is Little Century by Anna Kesey, and Kathy, why don't we have you read a little? You talk about the beautiful descriptions of landscape.
All right, and this is where Esther is just seeing where she's going to be living for the next few years. Before her are miles of gray plain roughened with brush, rising into a blurred olive band of vegetation and other bands of smoke and slate blue too far away to be consequential. And beyond these, the three rocky peaks Vincent calls the Sisters array themselves in robes of ice. Esther has never imagined a land so fruitless.
And what do we know about the author, Anna Kesey?
We know that she worked on this novel for 20 years, so it was a labor of love, and she had a beautiful product from it.
Ron, how about a novel from you?
So I'd like to talk about a book called The Bird Saviors by William J. Cobb. The Bird Saviors is set outside of Pueblo in a time that is sort of the present, when a mysterious fever is overtaking the country. People are dying from it. It's contagious. And the story is about Ruby, who is a teenager, still in high school, an unmarried mother of a toddler. And you recognize very early in the book that she's a very smart but very unsophisticated young woman. She's living with her father, who's a wounded war veteran, who preaches at the Lamb of the Forsaken Fundamentalist Church of the Latter-day Saints, and who has had a vision for Ruby's future, which is that she should marry Harlan Page, who is a polygamous pawn shop owner in town, wealthy, and will secure Ruby's future.
You talk about the plague that's going on at this point. Is that a major plot thread?
It is. It is, and it kind of throws into the story of Ruby and her relationship with her father this uncertainty about what the future will bring. And Ryan, the thing that ties this story together is that there is a kind of common belief that birds are somehow spreading this contagion. And Ruby has always been fascinated by birds.
And this all takes place in Pueblo, huh?
Yes, outside of Pueblo in the kind of gritty, arid land of the West.
Can you tell us a little bit about the author, Ron?
William lives in Salida. He has written two other novels, a collection of short stories, and is well-published in some literary magazines, including The New Yorker. Very interesting guy.
Well, let me give you this same opportunity to share some of the prose with us.
I'm going to read the introductory paragraph to the book, Ryan, and to set this up, Ruby thinks of her father, or calls her father, Lord God. And I think this opening paragraph kind of gives you the flavor of all of the themes that are going to appear in the book. Lord God is talking again. He does love to hear himself speak. A gray-beard loon, he sits hunched over the kitchen table, his arms sunburned, nose hooked, hair thin and wiry, ranting hoarse-voiced about sinners and socialists.
The book is The Bird Saviors, and you're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. We're getting summer reading recommendations from two Colorado booksellers. Some people think of summer books as novels. Others are more about nonfiction, so let's get to some suggestions there. Kathy, what do you have for us that is not necessarily imagined by the mind of the author?
I have a history called Prairie Fever, British Aristocrats in the American West. And this is actually the product of the imagination of British aristocrats who were quite taken by the American West. Starting around the 1830s, they read James Fenimore Cooper and wanted to come out and experience the noble savages and the beautiful, vast landscape. So they started coming west really for the fun of it. Many of them were second sons of aristocrats, so they weren't inheriting the land, and they really had to fill their time.
I was going to say, who would come to the New World if you knew you could stay in wealthy comfort in your homeland?
Well, and that's a good question, because a lot of their countrymen couldn't understand why they would want to be roughing it out in the West. But again, some of them were second sons. One of them, who's kind of an interesting and horrifying character, Sir St. George Gore. And you might know the name Gore from the Gore Range in Colorado. It's one and the same guy. He was a wealthy landowner. He had a lot of land in Ireland, and this was during the Irish famine. He came out to Colorado in the early 1850s, partly to get away from very, very angry tenants who were being evicted, who were starving to death. His land agent was murdered, and he just wanted to get away from it.
The book is Prairie Fever, British Aristocrats in the American West by Peter Pugnamenta. And there's this fantastic photo on the cover of an assembly of, I suppose, aristocrats who've come west. Does the book reveal who these folks are?
It does. This is actually a family that settled in Kansas. The British people that came over weren't only coming over to kill things. They also were farming and cattle ranching and had settlements in various parts of the West. There was an area in Colorado Springs that was called Little London because it was heavily settled by the British.
Ron, what would you bring to us in the nonfiction realm?
You know, this summer is going to be a very difficult summer for us from the perspective of how dry it is and all of the consequences of the low snow season and the low amount of water that we have this year, from forest fires to the inability to use rivers for recreation. And so I picked a book called Dam Nation by Stephen Grace.
Dam Nation. I'm catching, I think, the play on words there.
You are, indeed. This is a book about water and how water has shaped the West and, indeed, this country. And, you know, water is, to make a bad pun, a very dry subject. And it is a very difficult subject for people to understand. And Stephen has done something remarkable here in that he's written a book that exposes the history of how water has shaped the West. He teaches you about water rights, water law, the compacts that govern who gets to use water, who gets to drink it, who gets to use it for farming. And yet he does it in a very almost storytelling way, with great prose, wonderful illustrations. And I think it's a book that will be really valuable for us to all read this summer as we experience the consequences of such a dry summer.
It's Dam Nation by Stephen Grace, and that's in two words, Dam Nation. And why don't we wrap up, Kathy, with something for young readers? You've brought a choice in that realm for us.
I have a beautiful book called When You Wish Upon a Star, and the story is actually the lyrics to the song we all know, When You Wish Upon a Star. This was put together by Judy Collins, and it comes with a CD of her singing the song. And the artist is...
Judy Collins, who grew up in Denver, by the way.
Exactly, yes. Yes, that Judy Collins. She's our own Denver gal. And the illustrations are by Eric Puibere, and they are just luscious and luminous, beautiful illustrations of kind of sort of magical-looking children walking through beautiful landscape. It's very multicultural, so you have children from all over the world, and they are dancing to this beautiful song.
If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do.
That's from the CD accompanying the children's book, When You Wish Upon a Star, Judy Collins singing there. And what's the age range on this, Kathy Langer?
I would say anything from 0 to 99, because I love it. I was reading it this morning, and it's just beautiful and magical. So it's for all ages.
Well, thanks so much, both of you, for giving us your summer reading picks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Kathy Langer is a buyer for the Tattered Cover Bookstores in Metro Denver. Ron Krall owns Off the Beaten Path in Steamboat Springs. There's a list of the summer books they recommended at cpr.org. I'm Ryan Warner, and that's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.